Congregation, we have a Bible in front of us this morning, right? God's Holy Word. What a unique book that is. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every word. The sequence, the wording, how it is verbalized about God and sin and grace, so self-authenticating. What is that? Self-authenticating. You see nature, the snow, the mountains, the flowers, that self-authenticating nature. Nature shows us God exists. You are so dumb and foolish if you deny God's existence. He has made it all. You see it, you feel it, if you would only want to see it. And that's the same with the Bible. Self-authenticating. And you study it, it's a gold mine. There's so many new things, always fresh, always something you say, I haven't seen that before. So therefore we should read the Bible and read slowly, word for word, trying to absorb it. Lord, what is it that thou sayest? I want to know. The God reveals himself savingly in Scripture to his people by the Spirit, and he used the word. So this morning we need to go slow and read the verses, the text slow, and pay attention to every detail and the sequence. Before I read the text, think of a sentence like, dear congregation, read the word, because it's God's word. An address, dear congregation, an exhortation, read the word, and an argument, for it is God's word. You'll see it in our text as well. The address, and also an exhortation, actually two times exhortation, and then an argument, a because. Colossians 3, the verses 1, 2, and 3. I'll read slowly, and you look for the address, and two exhortations, and the argument. If ye then be risen with Christ, see those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So far. Now look at that text. Three times you read about Christ, right? Three times Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, see those things that are above, where Christ sitteth, of ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. You also see the address, ye. If ye then be risen with Christ, the exhortations, seek and set your affection, and then for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So the theme is, then risen with Christ, and courage to see Christ as they are hid with Christ in God. Three thoughts, risen with Christ. Is that you? If ye then be risen with Christ, it's an address. Then seek for Christ. Second thought, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth. Set your affection on things above. And in third place, hid with Christ in God. So again, them risen with Christ, encouraged to see Christ as they're hid with Christ in God. Three thoughts, risen with Christ, seeking for Christ, and hid in God with Christ. So let us go slow. If ye then be risen with Christ, who is he talking to? He's talking to God's people in Colossae, the saints. He writes to them whose sins have been forgiven and who rose with Christ. Look at that. In the previous chapter, in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So that if does not mean in case. Does not mean, well, in case you are risen with Christ. Yes, are you or not? If you are, that's not what it means. It's not an if of condition. It's an if of argument. It means as. As you then be risen with Christ, seek those things above. You are, aren't you? He's positive about that. You can see that in the previous chapters. Risen with Christ. Something happened. They rose with Christ. If someone rises, if I would say rise, you stand up, that means you have been seated. Or you are on the ground. And the Lord Jesus, he, God means here in his word, that we by nature have not risen, but are seated, laying on the ground, no dead. By nature are dead. And you being dead in sins and uncircumcision, has he quickened together with him, the state of death. When we as mankind fell away from the Lord, we did not become sick and weak, but dead in sins and trespasses. We still have some feelings, we have a corrupt will, we have impressions, we have some knowledge, some idea, some common grace. We still have a feel for religion, still something we are interested in probably. But yet, dead, meaning no will to serve the Lord and to surrender and obey and love and delight in the Lord. Nothing. We lost that image in that narrower sense. You're still humans. We still have feelings and impressions. But we are dead in sins, meaning absolutely unwilling and stubborn. Dead in sin and trespasses. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I have asked years to be converted. I want it. I want a new heart. Really, I want a new heart. He doesn't get it yet. That is not biblical. That's not true. If you really want it, if you are seeking it, if you want God, if you hunger for him, then something has changed in your heart. Because by nature we don't. We say we'd like to go to heaven. I would like to be spared. I would like to be forgiven in such a selfish way, but not for God's ways. Or may the Lord discover the nature of our hearts, how unwilling, unwilling, incapable, yes, but also unwilling we are, dead in sins. I read the same thing in Ephesians 2 and Romans 3. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, that's also a comfort. Then I see people not being interested at all, dead in sins, or pious. There is yet always hope that God quickens from the dead. It's his work. Nothing is too wonderful for him. And parents, if you have concerns about your children, wavered maybe, prodigal sons and daughters maybe, there's still hope. Because God quickens from the dead. If ye then be risen with Christ, very convincing is Romans 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Read for yourself and weep and cry, say, Lord, that's me. That's me. And the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things never the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. We fell dead in a spiritual death, consequently it is a physical death, an eternal death. If ye then be risen with Christ, risen with Christ, with, let's first talk about with Christ. With him, there is a unity, a union between Christ and his church. With him, hid with Christ in God, risen with Christ. You should look for those expressions in the Bible. In Christ, with Christ. That's actually already from eternity. Because before in eternity, before the creation of mankind and this world, God already loved his church. They did not exist yet. They had not fallen yet. But he had in mind his church. And he has given his church to Christ. So that's what the Lord Jesus refers to often, them thou hast given me. So from eternity, God's people have been chosen in Christ. In Christ, not chosen individually, but in Christ chosen. So united from eternity, love from eternity. But then when the Lord Jesus rose after he died on the cross, right, and was buried in the sepulchre, he rose. He took his church with him because he did not separate himself from his church. He was still with them. So when Christ rose from the dead, the church rose with him because you can't separate them. They're united. So God's children, the church rose when Christ rose from the dead. He is not only an example, it's not only a similarity. It happened. When the Lord Jesus rose, the church rose in him. And therefore they will be saved, all of them. And consequently something happens in this life. The Lord quickens them personally, just in a split second, in the hour of his good pleasure, they become suddenly God's people. They were not. They were children of wrath like all others. And they're not aware of that yet. And they don't say right away, I'm a God's people, I belong to God's people. But something happens dramatically, drawn out of the darkness and quickened, they rise from the dead. Something dramatically happens to their understanding, to their knowledge, their will, their feelings. It's quite a change. At a young age, older, quickened from the dead, it begins to dawn on them. I'm lost. My sins have not been forgiven. And they feel so terribly lonely. Nobody can help them. And they are without God. And it hurts. And they begin to pray, as they never prayed before. And they cry to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it becomes so real, God. And sin. And the brevity of life. And that they need a change. It becomes absolute reality. They rise with Christ. They become alive. And begin to see there is that seeking. And they find out that they are dead in sins. And they begin to seek a solution. A solution they cannot make themselves. A solution from God's eye. A solution one-sided in the Lord Jesus Christ. So from eternity, united. And in God's decree, although it has not happened yet, in God's decree, they rose. And they rose when Christ rose. And they rose in that split second of regeneration. But they also rise in their conscience, in their emotions. And they are in the midst of death and seek their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they begin to believe in him. In the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to them, and they see him, and they delight in him, and they take refuge unto him, and they find life in him. Life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes their life. Their life. What does that mean? If something is your life, well, what's your life? Your work? That's my life. My marriage, that's my life. My children, that's my life. My money, it's my life. My hobby is my life. Or is Christ your life? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Lord, draw sinners, and Christ becomes your life, the only solution dear to you as a prophet, as a priest, as a king, the Savior. And some people know him only a little, some of his people only a little, but they all know something of him. Those who call his name Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. So if ye then be risen with Christ, have you been drawn to him? Have you received that faith in him? Did you take refuge unto him? Is he your life? Brings to the second thought, seeking for Christ. Now you would say, if something so dramatic has happened, if it's a major change, those people of God, they seek God and Christ and heavenly things automatically. Of course they do. They have a new heart. They're God's people. They pray and they read and they're seriously minded, and the world does not appeal so much anymore to them. They're fine and they're God's people now, and it gets better and better. You think so? That's unfortunately not true. They still need pressure. They still need to be enticed. They still need to be encouraged and exhorted and with arguments. Now, if ye then be risen with Christ, if that's true, and we believe it's true, then seek those things. That's even said to God's people. Of course, it's also called to all of us, but also to the true believers. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Be heavenly oriented. Be a pilgrim here below. Put all your energy into seeking those heavenly things of forgiveness, of holiness, of Christ especially, at the right hand of God. Seek Christ. So they are seekers, they have found Christ, and they are encouraged to continue seeking Him. To find Him, well, to visit Him, to meditate on Him, to seek Christ. So the Lord is saying, crave Him, long for Him. Meditate upon Him. Drink that water. Eat Him. Enjoy Him. Love Him. Contemplate. Read a word. Go slow. Say, "Oh Lord, apply to my heart." Be busy with that. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Set your affection on things above. Maybe your passion, your life. Set your mind on it. So do your best also. The Lord says to His own people, you don't seek automatically. You don't seek because I give it to you only. You cannot put your arms together and just wait. No, seek. There's so many other things we seek by nature and also God's people. Not on things on the earth. This earth is so appealing. Nature. There are many good things in this life. We may enjoy and love, no problem. But we idolize them. It becomes too much for us. Our property, our gardens, our houses, our vacation, our cruises. Are you planning already? It can just occupy so much and draw so much out of us that it competes with what you need for your soul. Oh, see those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Dwell on those things, not on things of the earth. A text that explains this very well is from 1 Corinthians 7. It's about buying and marrying and weeping. Let me slowly read a text to you. That's about setting your things on things above and the consequence of that for this life. But this I say, brethren, The time is short. The time we live and the time of this world is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Being married, being engaged, hoping to marry, being married for many years, being married as not married. She is, he is not everything for me. I love her, I love him. It is hopefully a good marriage, but he may not be too much, mean too much to you. If we made it both they that have wives be as though they had none. Married, but in a way single. And they that weep as though they wept not. Weeping about consequences and problems in this life, that's okay to weep. Weep. But not too much. Because it's something else. Set your things on things above, where Christ sitteth. They that weep as though they wept not, and they rejoice as though they rejoice not. It's mitigated. It is tempered. It is not so exciting. And that's happening when the Lord gives a new heart and things lose something of their taste in this world. But that's also something that needs to endure. And they that buy. Do you like buying? Do you like shopping? To buy something new and to say, look, I bought, and enjoy it for a couple days. And they did buy as though they possess not. You buy it, you have it, but whatever. It does not fill my heart. I had to buy it, I need it, but it's not so that my heart is in it. They did buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it. Are you using the world or abusing it? For the fashion of this world passes away. Don't get stuck. Smell the roses. You know roses, right? All those thorns. Smell them. Don't sit in them. And get all stuck there and tangled. So if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Being heavenly minded, change your whole outlook. Changes the whole atmosphere of your family life and marriage life and business life. Something is more important. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. It's quite something we read quite often in the Bible. To see those things, to dwell upon those things. Let the word, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. So it's also from Colossians 3, right? Verse 16. In the same context. Set your affections. Let that word of Christ dwell in you richly. Read it. Meditate upon it. Go slow. Memorize the piece. Let it dwell in you richly. Not a little bit, richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace your hearts to the Lord. Sing and seek. Search the Scriptures. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That is so profitable also in the fight against sin, against addictions and something of our bosom sins. That's why it is in this context. Look at verse 4 and 5. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness. So in the fight against sin, we need to set our affections on things above, where Christ sitteth, to have that passion. And the church is encouraged, and unconverted ones are warned and invited to seek this. Now, being united with Christ, congregation, do you remember the 4 points? From eternity united, in the resurrection of Christ united, with him, risen with him, in the split second regeneration, risen with him, in the conscience taking refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ, with him. But now, one more step. Now also to abide in him. To not only believe in him, but abide in him. Abide in me and I in you by setting your affections on those things. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. You're dead. But we pray that the Lord may open your eyes and you may begin to seek the Lord and find out who you are and who God is and who Christ is, so you may receive life and true passion and true delight and true treasuring and true love. You miss so much, and you don't know it. You don't know what you're missing. Seek it. But also shame to God's people. So often we set our minds and affections on things below, where Christ is not, and it means death in the soul. It means lukewarmness. It means the Lord's closing his word. It means living so far off. The Lord is saying also to his people, I have not forgotten you. You have been risen with Christ. Come, set your affections again on things in heaven, not on earth. Seek Christ. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the Lord is willing to forgive that people, to forgive sinners, also to forgive again his people for not being so eager and not being so warm and being so indifferent again and so worldly again. Mortify your members which are on earth when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also be with him, in glory. So an address, ye then, risen with Christ, to exhortations, seek and set your affections on, and an argument, for, because, for ye are dead. What? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our third thought. So that you see, congregation, how the Apostle Paul encourages the church to live holy lives. But there is arguments. Mortify those members. Don't sin against or live close. Because what? Why? For you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You're so privileged. You have so much. You're so fortunate. You have received so many blessings, and the Lord is worthy of it. For ye are dead. For ye are dead. They rose. They're alive. They sing, you're dead. Does that make any sense to you? The Apostle Paul speaking to God's people, for ye are dead. He's contradicting himself, isn't he? You're dead. So this morning hour I say to all the true believers, you're dead. You're punished. You have been killed. Well, yes. It's not only so that when Christ rose, the church rose. When Christ died, the church died. They died in him. So he means, for you are dead, he means Christ died for you. You say, well, that's what you say, what you think. No? Galatians 2 verse 20. I am crucified. I am crucified, the Apostle Paul says. I am crucified. No, Christ is crucified. No, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Apostle Paul is encouraging the church to live holy, close lives, for they are dead in Christ. Christ died for them, paid the price, gave his blood. He said, it's finished. He paid a full price. They're his people. So this is a very cheerful verse. For ye are dead. Honor to God. You're dead in Christ. You paid the price. Because Christ paid the price for you. For ye are dead. That's a message for God's people this morning. You are dead because you are crucified with Christ. And your life, oh, there's still life too? Yes. And your life is hid with Christ in God. So Christ is hid in God. And in Christ is the church. So think of the church being in Christ, being in God. Three circles. Outer circle, God. And in the circle, Christ. And the smaller circle, the church. Hid with Christ in God. So that means that Christ is safe. Because he's in heaven. He rose, he paid a price, he ascended, is in heaven at the right hand of God. And God's children are safe and hid in him in heaven already. Because Christ and the church cannot be possibly separated. So this is a fact. The church is hid with Christ in God. But now also experientially, they also experience that. Two texts for you explain this. One from Isaiah 32 about hiding. When do you hide? When do you hide in a cave, in a house? When do you seek shelter? It is danger, tempest, wind, fire, volcanic eruptions. You hide. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a cover for the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The Lord Jesus is. He is that man. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. I preach you that man this morning. He is the hiding place, the only hiding place. And in order to be safe and sound and hid with Christ in God, you need that faith in him. You need to hide in him. You're so welcome to hide, to take refuge urgently and quickly to the Savior Jesus Christ. He is the only hiding place. You can't hide anywhere else but in him. And so people can be hidden in God. Psalm 32, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. So the church is safe in Christ, in God. So, set your affections on things above. Seek those things which are above. Two times, which are above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. One more thing. Christ could not hide. He was exposed on the cross to the sheer wrath of God. Exposed to it. There was no hiding place. Against the sun and the tempest and the wind and the anger of his Father in the heavens. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you need him? Is he dear to you? Do you love him? Seek your salvation in him who is exposed to God's wrath. No hiding place in order to be a hiding place. Congregation, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Almighty Lord, may it please thee to bring this to the hearts of sinners, to them dead yet. But, O Lord, nothing is too difficult for thee to change that. We beseech thee, Lord, come with thy Spirit and draw and convert and make alive, quicken sinners, younger ones, older ones, from the dead, so they may find death in self and find life in the Lord Jesus Christ and be dead in Him and alive in Him. The Lord may please Thee to also be with us the rest of this day. Bring us safely back to church again. May the verb be applied and may we come up prayerfully. In Jesus' name alone, amen.